You have your Bible tonight. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, if you will. Praise God. I'm reading from the New American Standard version tonight. And going to read those first three verses in Romans 12 and then skip down and read 14 down through 21. The first three verses and then 14 through 21. Before we start tonight, I'm reminded of how my sisters and I, you know, we text each other each morning, Monday through Friday. My sisters, one lives in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, one lives in New Jersey, one lives in Baltimore, Maryland. And every morning, Monday through Friday, we text each other. Good morning, how are you doing? How can I pray for you? Hope you're having a good day. And our text messages start early, 4 a.m. And then throughout the day, as other my other sisters get up or whatever, then they chime in on the text. And we were all laughing about a week ago because one of my sisters, she sent a good morning text and autocorrect. She was a victim of autocorrect. How many know what I talk about when I say that? She sent us a text and she said, "Good morning, you blankety blanks." And oh, I immediately, now I knew my sister didn't say that. I knew that autocorrect had got her. Because autocorrect has got me before. Has anybody here autocorrect? Oh, man. Autocorrect has got me. And so it was, what made it funny is that, you know, the rest of us realized what she wrote, but she didn't realize what she wrote. And so we were texting back big eyes and, you know, eyeballs and all of that, you know, and just laughing. And she didn't know what we were laughing at. It took her 2 days. She went back and read through the whole text string and she said, "Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I can't believe autocorrect got me like that. Why didn't you guys tell me, you know?" And we just had, we said, we knew you didn't say that. We had the biggest kick that autocorrect had chimed in and made her say something that she didn't say. But most of the time, autocorrect is pretty good, isn't it? I mean, but there are some times when autocorrect, and you better double check what you text, right? Double check what you send to people, because autocorrect can get you. Most of the time, it's pretty good. There's so many self-correcting devices in our culture. We live in a culture that seems to try to program in. It doesn't do it. It's not fail-proof. But in so many facets of society, there seems to be an automatic, you know, through engineering and science and so forth, trying to just autocorrect things. And sometimes it works good and sometimes it doesn't. I know my car will drive itself. It'll park itself. It'll drive itself for about 30 seconds. Then it'll ask you to put your hands on the wheel. As long as you put one hand on the wheel, you can just barely touch it. It'll keep driving itself. Then if you just have, if it can feel the impression of your hand slightly, it'll keep driving itself. But if you don't put your hand on the wheel, it will put the blinker on and pull over and stop. But JP and I, we were going to Texas to play golf and we were out on the highway and he was driving. And so he put that thing, you know, in the self-drive deal, and he had a cup of coffee and he wanted to adjust his coffee, so he just hit self-drive. But he was going 75 miles an hour, and so he got his coffee and he's just talking to me, and the car's going 75 miles an hour. We're coming up on a corner and I said, "Dude, what are you doing?" He said, "Dad, it's on auto drive. The auto thing is on. Don't worry about it. It's on." I said, "Put your hands on the wheel. I don't care what kind of auto thing we got." I said, "Dude, we're going 75 miles an hour. I don't trust that thing. Put your hands on the wheel. You ain't taking me to..." It probably would have, you know. And the thing about the car driving itself, it'll drive itself, but it doesn't drive the way I drive. It'll drive itself, but it's less intuitive. I'll turn slightly early. I'll keep the car centered in the center of the lane. And the car tends to wait till you get to the edge of something. And then it bumps you back and waits. So it's real kind of, it'll do it, but it's real kind of jerky. And that makes me nervous. I don't know that I can trust that kind of autocorrect on the car, but it is a good one, you know. So many facets of society. I missed time out there with my dad. He had a big 30-foot boat, and we'd go out into the Atlantic Ocean, and then, oh, man, we'd go out there where you couldn't see land anymore. You could just see the ocean. And if you don't have your compass and your Lowrance and your satellite nav and all that, then you could get lost real easy. We were out there one time in the Atlantic Ocean. We'd gone out several miles and you're out there and you're within range of the Navy ships out. You're so far out there, you're going past, Navy ships are coming past you. And so, oh man, just like that, the sky turned gray, the clouds moved in, and what had been a sunny day, just like that, the clouds covered over everything, everything got gray and then really dark, and then it started to rain, and we were caught in a storm out in the Atlantic Ocean, and we barely had time, we were out fishing, we barely had time to react. And oh man, my dad said, "Bill, put this thing in gear and take us home." And I was like, "Which way is home? It all looks the same, you know." He said, just follow that auto that's set up on that navigation unit. Just hit start and it'll lead you right in. And that thing drove us right on in, right into the channel, right up into our slip where we had left from. Just amazing how it drove us right from the storm. But there is an autocorrect in you and I that is absolutely 100% fail-proof. We as believers have a built-in autocorrect that is so flawless. It's seamless. It's not a it, it's a he. And he is perfect. And he is God, the Holy Spirit, who's been sent to indwell us. And I'll tell you, let's go to the word. We're in Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read those first few verses, and then we'll skip down, as I said, to 14. So we're in Romans chapter 12, the first three verses. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Slip down to verse 14. Verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You could say it this way, overcome evil people with good as well. You could say it that way. But man, those verses from 14 down are so powerful about just how to live the Christian life successfully, because I believe that we all need to yield to the autocorrect on the inside of us, which I said is a he. He's a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's God, the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, when we're not living right or acting right, then he will move within us. And I tell you, if we'll be sensitive, we'll be sensitive on the inside, man, he can correct us. But so often as believers can sometimes be slow to repent and slow to forgive. But the real key to victory is to do what? The opposite. Be quick to repent and be quick to forgive. And so the Bible tells us here how to handle our relationships, how to live successfully with people. I remember working for Thrifty Car Rentals World Headquarters. And man, I remember so clearly just having a guy there who worked there who he knew I went to Rhema. And for some reason, maybe that's why, he just didn't like me. And if you've never experienced the dissatisfaction of somebody who just doesn't like you because of your stance as a Christian or who you are as a believer, well, you might as well get used to that, because the world is full of people like that. And in spite of the world being full of people like that, you and I are called to love them unconditionally. And how many know there are a whole bunch of ungodly, unfriendly people who are all around us? They're out in traffic. They're down there on the job. Sometimes they're in your neighborhood. The world is just full of people who seem to be having a miserable day. But I tell you, God has so, he has so enriched us, so enriched all of our lives, that you and I, every day is a good day for a believer. I said, God has equipped us and so filled us that if we'll just stay tuned into his word, tuned into his Holy Spirit, it really doesn't matter what kind of day somebody else is having. You can have a great day every single day in spite of the day that somebody's having around you. Somebody said, well, when the boss gets mad, everybody gets it. The whole workplace gets it. When the boss says, look out, when your boss comes in mad, then everybody's going to get it. No, you can have a great day even if your boss is mad. You can have a great day even if the person next to you in traffic is mad. You can have a great day even if the person at the grocery store is mad. I tell you, with Jesus on the inside, every day ought to be a good day for you and I. I said, we ought to rejoice at all that God has done for us and trust God to see us through every day. Praise God. And so the Bible says here what we think with our mind. Am I okay with this mic? Is it me? Okay. The mic trying to auto, they're working on it. All right. The mic's trying to auto correct me. So if I say something wrong, it wasn't me, it was the mic. No, I'm kidding. It wouldn't be if I say something wrong. No, listen, the Bible says here, our thoughts being renewed in our mind is the key to our victory and success every single day. Because when a Christian gets renewed in their mind, guess what's going to happen first? You're going to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit down on the inside of you. And I tell you, when you and I are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we can make the necessary adjustments. We can make the... What if every husband came with an autocorrect? Fellas, what if every wife came with an autocorrect? Wouldn't life be wonderful? But no, the Holy Spirit has to gain our cooperation. He waits for us to cooperate with him. And when he sees us cooperate with him, then man, he can reveal things to us and he can help us in ways that are immeasurable. And so that guy, he just didn't like me just because I was a Christian. And man, he did things to me. And I've shared my story before. But over and over again, every night I prayed for him. Every night when I got home, I prayed for him. And I asked the Lord, Lord, I don't know why he's so mad and upset, but Lord, I pray for his salvation. I pray that you'll touch his heart. I pray that you'll show him the error of his ways. I pray you show him he doesn't have anything to fear from me. I pray that you'll help him and bless him. In spite of all that he's done to me, I pray that you'll bless him. I pray that you'll help him, Lord. And I prayed that way night after night. Every single night before I went to bed, I prayed for that guy. You say, what happened? He got worse and worse and worse. But I still did what the Bible says, and I prayed for him, and the day came when I walked into work and they said, oh, this is going to be a happy day for you. And I said, how come? And they said, oh, because so-and-so got fired. He didn't like you and he got fired. But you know, having prayed for him all those days, it didn't bring joy to me that he got fired. I was really sad for him. I had compassion for him. I felt bad for him. And you know, when we see people do hurtful things around us, we should be so filled with the love of Jesus, have our mind renewed by the word of God, that man, we can just have compassion on people. And the Bible says that how we think is so critically important, that we're not to think more highly than we should. Now, listen, as believers, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139, we've been seated in heavenly places with Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, all of our redemptive rights and benefits and privileges, oh man, should get our eyes off of us and our eyes onto our Savior. And we should be thrilled with who God has created us to be in Christ. I said, we ought to think highly about ourselves and who we are, what God has done in Christ for us. Praise God. And but the Bible says also there ought to be some autocorrect in there. There's some balance in there. If we get our eyes off of Jesus and what he's done, and if we start putting our eyes on ourselves, the Bible said right there at verse 3, listen, Paul said, I say that everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. As God has allotted to each a measure of faith. God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And listen, we need to think about ourselves because the Bible says, listen, we shouldn't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. What does that mean? It means we ought to put other people first. Really, to have real joy, we ought to have Jesus first, then put other people second, put yourself last. That's real joy, the acrostic. Jesus, others, yourself. And when we put Jesus in the first place and then give consideration and kindness to other people, we ought to just show brotherly kindness to one another in the body of Christ. I said, amen. We ought to show brotherly kindness in the parking lot. We ought to show brotherly kindness at the grocery store. We ought to show brotherly kindness to people sitting next to us. We got too many people in the body of Christ in general who are mad at each other, who won't speak to each other, who won't sit next to each other, who won't talk to each other. But oh, when we allow God the Holy Spirit to auto-correct us, when we're sensitive to him, we can get right back in line and get right into that same position that we have with him. And the Bible says, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Bless them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind. There it is again. Do not be haughty in mind. It goes on down and says, do not be wise in your own estimation. Wow. And so there should be a balance in how we think. You know, we can always get it right. If our eyes are on Jesus, then our thoughts will be right. But when our eyes get on ourselves, that's when our thoughts will be incorrect. And so we've got to make sure that we keep our thoughts and our thinking and our attitude in the right place. Go with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians. It's so important that we learn how to make those adjustments that God has for us. In Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 3 through 5. Philippians 2, 3 through 5. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also the interest of others. And have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Wow. The Bible calls you and I to adopt the same attitude, to have the same mindset as the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did he do? He looked out for others. He didn't do things from selfishness or empty conceit. He was humble in regard to others. He was humble. He took on a human body, a human robe of flesh as the Creator, taking on a robe of flesh to redeem us. But the Bible tells us clearly, don't merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. What's the word saying? Hey, we need to have some autocorrect features in place that when we make things too much about us or about ourselves, that we can correct that and say, hey, God, I just repent of that. I'm sorry of that. Help me to get my eyes back on you. That's so very important. Don't do anything selfishly. Don't do anything from the wrong motive. Amen. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 11 in 1 Corinthians. I tell you, today we had such a powerful communion service. Communion is always such a wonderful service. And man, just to share communion with each other. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, Paul wrote this, "But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged." Let me go back to verse 30. Verse 30, because Paul, writing, talking to the Corinthians, now the Corinthians were spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christian, tongue-talking believers. And Paul says to him at verse 30, "For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." It sounds like he's making a negative confession. But he's explaining a phenomena that was happening in the Corinthian church, because the Corinthians, as a body, as a group of believers, they were violating that sense of autocorrect. They were that the Holy Spirit down on the inside of them. And listen, they were disrespectful to the communion. They disregarded the meaning of the communion. They didn't remember the symbolism of the bread, the symbolism of the juice, like we did today, as Pastor explained it. And we all were able to remember his broken body and able to remember his shed blood. The Corinthians weren't doing that. And not only were they disregarding their communion, they were disregarding one another. And in the church, they were treating one another so poorly. And they would celebrate communion with a fellowship meal, with a whole meal, and then have communion as well. And but some of the people didn't have any food at all. And some of the people had a lot of food. And the people who had a lot of food were disregarding people who were hungry right next to them. And they were treating their brothers and sisters in such a way that Paul writes, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, in verse 30, "For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." That means that when he says a number sleep, that means people have died early. What's he talking about? He's talking about a progression. People were first weak, but they didn't correct anything. And then they became sick, but they didn't correct anything. And then some went home to early. And why? They didn't correct anything. And what we've got to do is we've got to be sensitive to the mighty Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And the Corinthians didn't do that. And so they took something that was supposed to be a blessing, something that was supposed to produce healing, something that was supposed to produce blessing in every area. And by their actions, they mocked it. By their refusal to repent, they mocked it. By their refusal to self-correct, they mocked it. And he said, listen here. He said, let a man examine himself. You know what we do in the body of Christ? We want to examine everybody else. We want to examine our neighbor. But the Bible doesn't say examine your neighbor. The Bible says we ought to examine ourselves. I said, amen. And then when we examine ourselves, listen, not out of some type of legalistic search for endless, non-existent sins. I'm not talking about that. When we examine ourselves in light of the Holy Spirit, and let me tell you this, if the Holy Spirit reveals something, you'll know it. And if he doesn't, then move forward. Don't be digging for nothing if he's not showing you something. Sometimes when you talk like this, innocent people just say, well, I'm just going to dig and dig and dig till I find some hidden secret sin. Now, stop that. If the Holy Spirit reveals something, you'll know it. You could confess that. But we all need to make adjustments. We all need to make little adjustments. It's like driving a car. You drive a car to the center of the lane. If the car drifts a little bit to the right, you move it back to the center. If it drifts a little bit to the left, you move it back to the center. You just keep it balanced. And as mature believers, we ought to be able to do that. You know, when you first drive, how many remember when you first started driving? Oh man, didn't you jerk that car all around? The poor person who had to teach you how to drive. My sons, they always said, oh great, we get dad. I worked for Federal Express. I taught defensive driving every single day. And so what part of my job was to evaluate people's driving. So I was always looking at defensive driving techniques. And so I taught my sons how to drive defensively and, you know, going through an intersection, cover the brake, look left, right, left, always check in your mirror, then all this stuff. So I always aim high and stare and get the big picture, make sure they see you, leave yourself an out. I was always teaching them all those principles, you know. And they were like, oh boy, here we go again. Then they hated it when I said, give me the rolling commentary. And that's where, if I was riding with a driver at FedEx, I'd make him or her announce verbally what they're doing. What are you seeing? What are you doing? And they'd have to say, well, I'm driving 45. I see the speed limit sign. My eyes are scanning left and right. I see a car coming up on me from the rear. I'm going to move into the lane of least resistance. I'm about to put my blinker. And they had to keep going through that. Oh, Stephen and John, they detested that. But if the Corinthians had had some autocorrect, they would have realized, hey, we need to make some adjustments here, and we need to get back to the middle of the lane. Brother Hagin told a powerful story when I was in school of a famous healing evangelist who the Holy Spirit spoke to him and told him he needed to correct some things. But that famous healing evangelist didn't listen. And then Brother Hagin said that the Lord had sent some others to him, and he didn't listen to them. And then he said that the Lord told him, Brother Hagin, to go and talk to him privately, of course. And in his book, he says that the person didn't give him an audience. He didn't even get to go. He went to talk to the person, but the person was too busy to talk to him. And but Brother Hagin says that the Lord had told him, judge yourself in three areas, in your diet, and in walking in love, and in being money-minded. And he said, those three areas are critically important. Make an adjustment in your motives about money, in your motives about love. Make an adjustment in your diet. Yeah. And see, it's different. The reason we don't have time to be minding anybody else's business is it's different for all of us. See, what the Holy Spirit is saying to you is something totally different than he's saying to me. And for some people, you've already made adjustments. You're making adjustments. There's no adjustment to make. And for other people, God may want you to make a little adjustment somewhere. But it doesn't matter. Listen, we're imperfect people. Ultimately, thank God that Jesus has saved us by his perfect blood. And so sometimes we just have to make a little adjustment. And if we'll make a little adjustment, we'll be successful in walking in victory every day of our Christian life. But that man, Brother Hagin says, didn't make the adjustment, and he died early, and all the Voice of Healing ministers were praying for him to be healed, but he died early. And Brother Hagin also explained that, you know, a lot of times people don't understand things that happen behind the scenes like that. And while you can't always publicly explain that, if that person had made those adjustments, they could have walked in the victory. Go with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, man, making those little adjustments should be like an autocorrect when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Man, the Corinthians, some of them were weak. Some of them were sick. Some of them died early because they didn't make adjustments. And I also want to say, we know this. You know, when you're speaking quickly like this, sometimes people can misunderstand the context in which you're speaking. Our God, he's a merciful God. Aren't you glad? Let me say this. God, he's full of mercy. Can I say it that way? In fact, the Bible says he's rich in mercy. Can I say it this way? He's the God of a first chance, a second chance, a third chance, however many chances you need. He's the God of that. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. He's the God. He's the God who is full and rich in mercy. Praise God. Where would any believer be without the rich mercy of the Lord? Thank God for it. So God's not just indiscriminately slapping at us. You made a mistake. Pop, gotcha. You over there. Pop, gotcha. Gotcha. God's not playing a game of spiritual gotcha with you and I. In fact, it's the opposite. He's full of mercy. He says, I don't want to judge you. You judge yourself. I don't want to judge you. I'm full of mercy. I just want to extend my mercy to you. But you judge yourself. And when the Holy Spirit tells you to make an adjustment, make an adjustment. Every husband ought to make adjustments like that. I said, I wish I had one amen. I said, when a hubby does wrong, he ought to make an adjustment and say, I'm sorry. A husband ought to be able to go to his wife and say, baby, I'm sorry. I wish I had two amens. I did get one. Thank you. I got one amen down here. I wish I got two. Every husband ought to be able to make an adjustment quick. Sometimes men drag out their apology. And then your man may be the kind of man, he want to go buy you an ice cream cone or a dress or something instead of apologizing. Listen, you ought to go buy the ice cream cone or the dress, but you ought to apologize before you do that. I said, amen. I said, when it's time to apologize, offer up a man up, cowboy up, and offer up an apology. And then sometimes people, when they apologize, they start blaming other people.
Well, I wouldn't have done it, but you know what you did.
If you're going to apologize, just apologize. I can tell I'm not going to get very many amens. I thought I might get one or two amens at the end of this sermon. I thought, Lord, this ain't going to be an amen type night. And listen, every wife ought to be able to apologize to her guy. Listen, ladies, you make a mistake towards your husband, you ought to be able to apologize quickly to him. I said, amen. Somebody said, well, I'll just make him a good dinner. That'll make up for it. I ain't saying nothing to him. Well, you ought to make him a good dinner, but you ought to apologize if you did him wrong.
All right, I better go on. I see I'm not getting very many amens on either side of that coin, so I'll move forward.
Listen, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. You know what it says there? Keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Do you know you could suffer shipwreck in regard to your faith? And God doesn't want you and I experiencing shipwreck. He wants us to be able to get to the other side safely, to go from glory to glory, from victory to victory. But let me tell you this, we got to make adjustments. And you know, driving my dad's boat all those years and coming back from the ocean, when you're coming out from the vast ocean, you come into a little channel, what's called a channel. And there's two sides to the channel. One side's going out, one side's coming in. One side's got green placards and the other side's got red placards. And you can't be on the red side if you're supposed to be on the green side and vice versa. And man, you've got to stay within that channel, because if you don't stay within that channel, man, we've seen boats hung up on the rocks, boats that get outside the channel get shipwrecked. And God doesn't want you and I to experience shipwreck. The Corinthians, some of them experienced shipwreck. Some of them did. But God doesn't want that for you and I as believers. He wants there to be that element of autocorrect. And here, Paul writes to Timothy and says, they've rejected a good conscience. When something bothers your conscience, hey, clear it up quick. Get rid of it quick. Something's on your conscience, you know, just even if it's a small thing. Sometimes Pastor Zach was preaching last week, I think he said the little foxes spoil the vine. It is so true. What a powerful biblical principle. Hey, get rid of it quick. When something gets on your conscience, get rid of it quick. Nazi Germany, they asked the German soldiers, many of whom were on trial at Nuremberg, and when they were on trial, they asked them, didn't it bother you when you gassed those precious Jewish people? You gassed them. You tortured them. So many of them were shot. They were starved. And they said, that didn't bother your conscience during the trial? And so many of those German soldiers, you know what they said? It bothered. We could not eat. We could not sleep. We were throwing up. We could not even exist. We couldn't do it. And they said, then how did you? And they said that many of our superiors would bring a pistol, pull a pistol to our head and say, you're either going to pull that lever or we're going to shoot you in the head. And they said some of our comrades were shot in the head. And so they said, we just pulled the lever and killed all those people.
And we just kept doing it. And they said, we did that again and again. They said, after a while, it didn't bother us. They said, after a while, we could just go have dinner. And when something stops bothering your conscience, that's not a time to say, oh, praise God, it doesn't bother me anymore. Whoa, you better watch out. There's a layer. There's a layer over your conscience. There's some calluses on your conscience. And guess what? You're losing your sensitivity to God. And this is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of freedom. This is a message of, hey, let's make quick adjustments. If the Holy Ghost speaks to us, make quick adjustments. Get back in line. Get in the middle of the road. Why? That's where the blessing is. Stay on the blessing side. God's trying to guide us and lead us and bring our ships safely to where He's directing us. And He doesn't want us to suffer shipwreck like some of these people did. Why? Because they ignored their conscience. When God the Holy Spirit on the inside began to speak and say, you know, you didn't speak to that brother right. You know, the way you treated that sister, that wasn't right. You know, that anger you just displayed, that's not right. You know, the words you just used, that look you had on your face. If you have somebody you need to go make it right with tonight, hey, I just came to encourage you by the Holy Ghost. Hey, go ahead and make it right. The longer you wait, the harder it'll get. You owe your sweetie an apology, go apologize. You owe your honey an apology. If a parent owes a child an apology, that child will respect you so much more. If you could go and say, hey, dad was wrong or mom was wrong, would you forgive me? I know growing up with our kids, as they were growing up, we always had a rule. We never disciplined in anger. My son was thanking me the other day. We were having a conversation. He said, Dad, thanks that you never disciplined in anger. And he said, but the thing is, you know, but we always left the freedom that if I did get angry, I could be corrected. And someone could say, hey, could we talk? Because you look angry. And then I'd say, oh, let me repent. So whatever it is, my brother and sister, we want you to stay on the blessing side. We want you to get safely to the other side. Whatever God's got for you this year, God's got so many fun, thrilling, exciting, blessed things for you. They are financial in nature. They are spiritual in nature. They are relational in nature. God's got blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. So stay in the middle of the road. Keep yourself in a position to receive. When God, the Holy Spirit, tells you to make a quick correction, make that correction and stay on the blessing side. Let's pray. Father, we've endeavored in the time that we've had to share about the importance of just staying right with you, sensitive in our conscience with each other. Father, to stay right with you in our relationship horizontally and yet right with our fellow man, right with you vertically and right with our fellow man horizontally. And so, Father God, someone may be here tonight that needs to make an adjustment. Every head's bowed now, every eye's closed. There's nobody but you and God. Just for the sake of your own admitting it to the Lord, you're here tonight and you say, hey, I've got some adjustments to make. Let me see your hand. I'm not having you come down here, but you're honest enough. Every head's bowed. You say, I need to make some adjustments. Yeah, just lift your hand. So God, Yep. Okay. Amen. Amen. All over. You can keep your hands. Put your hands down. Thank you. Father, you see honest hands tonight. People willing to admit they need to make some adjustments. You're a God who's full of mercy. You're so full of mercy. Thank you. You're the God of a second chance, the God of a third chance, the God of a fourth chance. However many chances we need, you're the God of that. And thank you for your love and your mercy and your kindness. Thank you that the Bible says it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. Thank you, Father. We don't want to be shipwrecked. We don't want to wind up outside the channel on the rocks as a Christian, as a believer. Oh, but we want to go to the other side, experiencing your blessing and your grace, your provision from day to day. So help your people. We'll give you all the glory as we make adjustments. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, go on in the blessing. God's got so many things for you. And if you'll make just a few adjustments, a few of you, our prayer team can come on down. If you'll make a few adjustments, you're going to see your life in terms of receiving from God go to a whole new level. You're going to go to a whole new level. Make a few adjustments and you'll go to a whole new level. Man, let God have His way with you. And then be quick about it. Be quick about it. Be quick about it. And God will help you and bless you. If you need something tonight, you want to be saved, you want to be born again, you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, oh man, come on down here. If you're a guy, come to the guys. If you're a lady, come to the ladies. And these folks will pray with you, and they'll give you information from the Word, and you won't leave here like you came. You say, I just want somebody to pray with me. You say, I realize I need to make some adjustments in some areas. I need a prayer partner tonight real quick. I want somebody to pray with me. That's what they're up here for. They'll pray with you and help you. You won't leave here like you came. We want to thank you for coming tonight. We want to encourage you to be here on Wednesday night, Hour of Power. I want to encourage you to get this morning's message, the powerful communion service, accompanied that message today if you didn't get that, okay? Well, stand up on your feet, saints of God. And as I say, if you need salvation, you need to be filled with the Spirit, you need healing, you need someone to pray with you, whatever, come on down here and let these good folks pray with you. For the rest, Father, thank you for keeping us as we go. Guard us in our automobiles or walking or however we're getting home. Guard us and keep us all safe till we see each other again in your presence by your will. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my friends, you are dismissed. Thank you so much, and God bless you one and all.